Welcome to the Summary Podcast, presented by Suncoast Venture Studio. The Summary takes dense, complex topics and breaks them down into engaging, approachable conversations for everyone involved in building something extraordinary on the Suncoast. Join us on our journey as we explore a constantly shifting landscape of insights, ideas, and fascinating tidbits. Let's get started.
Welcome to The Summary, a Suncoast Venture Studio podcast.
Great to be here.
Today, we're diving into something really topical in the tech world. It's this comparison between AI startup growth and the more traditional, you know, SaaS models.
Yeah, it's a hot topic. We've got some interesting source materials lined up to help us unpack it.
Right. You've shared some great articles, and I think our mission today is really to dig into what they tell us about who might be, quote unquote, winning.
Or maybe just how they differ, right, in terms of growth, revenue, costs, go-to-market, all that stuff.
Exactly. We want to look at growth speed, how they make money, what it costs to run them, how they actually sell, and sort of the future outlook.
Okay, so first up, we have that piece from Wing Venture Capital analyzing Stripe data. That one directly compares early growth for AI versus SaaS.
Yeah, that one caught my eye. Then there's one from SaaS Academy, more about how AI is changing the existing SaaS industry, integration and impact.
We also have a source titled AI Startup Growth versus SaaS. Pretty direct comparison there, looking at growth and revenue models specifically.
And Meritech Capital offers a perspective suggesting SaaS isn't necessarily dead. Maybe AI could even make it bigger. A bit of a counterpoint.
Right. It focuses on potential disruption, but also evolution. And finally, there's a Sostra piece with lessons from companies like Cohere and Together AI looking at the new rules for AI startup growth.
So a good mix of data analysis and real-world examples. Our goal, as always, is to synthesize this, give you the key takeaways without getting bogged down, and really understand these different perspectives on this AI versus SaaS dynamic.
Sounds good. Where should we start? The growth speed seems like a natural first point.
Agreed. That Wing Venture Capital piece, using Stripe's data, it highlights a pretty significant difference right out of the gate.
Yeah, the time to reach that first $1 million in annualized revenue.
Exactly. AI startups seem to be hitting that mark in, what was it, a median of 11 months after their first customer sale.
That's right, 11 months, compared to nearly 15 months for SaaS companies in their comparable stage.
So that's 4 months faster on average, a noticeable speed advantage early on.
And it's not just the initial traction, it's the scaling after that first million.
Yeah, the scaling from $1 million to $30 million ARR.
The analysis suggests AI startups are doing that about five times faster.
Five times.
Yeah.
That's a massive difference in acceleration.
It really is. It points to a fundamentally different growth trajectory, at least in these early high growth phases.
The Sostra article backs this up with some pretty wild examples too, doesn't it?
It does. They mention Glean growing 20x in a year, Harvey 10x. Numbers that kind of break the old SaaS rules, like the triple, triple, double, double, double benchmark.
Right. T2, T3. Seems AI is playing by a different set of rules, or maybe rewriting them.
But there's a really important caveat here, highlighted by Emily Sands from Stripe in that Wing VC piece.
Okay, what's that?
The cost structure. AI companies often have substantial compute costs right from the very beginning. Model training, inference, it's expensive.
Ah, so that speed might be partly driven by necessity. They have to monetize faster.
That's the argument. The high operational costs necessitate getting revenue in the door much quicker just to cover the burn. It's not just about grabbing market share, it's survival.
That makes sense. It's not like traditional SaaS where maybe the initial infrastructure costs were high, but the marginal cost per user was lower early on. Here, the core function itself is costly.
Precisely. Mm. Which leads us neatly into the revenue models, doesn't it? How are they actually making money to cover those costs?
Yeah, let's talk about that. Traditionally, you see a split, right? AI often leaning towards usage-based pricing.
Typically, yeah. Pay per API call, per task completed, per gigabyte processed, something tied directly to consumption.
Whereas SaaS has historically been dominated by subscription fees per seat, per license, tiered features.
Correct. Predictable recurring revenue based on access rather than pure usage. But as you hinted, that's starting to shift.
It seems like it. We're seeing SaaS giants, like Salesforce was mentioned, starting to incorporate per task charges, especially as they embed AI features.
Exactly. The lines are definitely blurring. As AI becomes a feature within SaaS, the pricing models might adopt some of that usage-based logic.
The AI startup growth versus SaaS source laid out quite a few different AI revenue models. beyond just simple usage, though.
It did. It mentioned things like, well, still having SaaS-style subscriptions, but maybe for very specific vertical AI applications.
Okay, so like an AI tool for a specific industry sold as a subscription.
Right. And then SaaS as a service, maybe for more project-based things like robotics or one-off analyses. Also things like revenue sharing.
Revenue sharing. How does that work?
Think of an AI sales chatbot. Maybe the AI company takes a percentage of the sales that the chatbot directly facilitates.
Interesting. Tying their revenue directly to the outcome they generate for the customer.
Yeah, and that ties into another one they mentioned, value-based pricing. Charging based on the value delivered, not just seats or tasks, though that can be harder to quantify sometimes.
Definitely seems more complex to implement. But the potential disruption mentioned in the Meritech piece is fascinating, the idea that AI agents could fundamentally change SaaS pricing.
Right. If one AI agent can do the work previously needing, say, 10 user licenses, does the seat-based model still make sense?
Good question. Maybe the agent becomes the new unit of value you pay for. Or the capability it unlocks.
Potentially. It suggests a future where pricing might be much more tied to automation capabilities or outcomes achieved by the AI rather than just human access. A big shift for established SaaS players to consider.
We'll be back after a word from our sponsors.
Are you a leader sitting on untapped potential? Have a solution to a pressing industry challenge? Or a groundbreaking concept waiting to take flight? At Suncoast Venture Studio, we specialize in transforming ideas into venture-scale businesses that solve real-world problems and drive lasting impact. We're more than just a venture studio. We're your innovation partner, whether it's unlocking value from corporate innovation, translating university research into commercial ventures, or addressing systemic issues in government and beyond. We have the tools, expertise, and network to bring your vision to life. Let's transform challenges into opportunities and ideas into thriving ventures. Together, we're not just launching startups. We're building Florida's Venture Coast. Ready to make an impact? Visit suncoast.studio to connect with us today.
Let's shift gears slightly to the cost structures again. We touched on the high compute costs for AI, but what else differentiates them from early SaaS?
Well, beyond compute, there's the whole data aspect. AI startups often have massive upfront expenses just acquiring, cleaning, and labeling the data needed to train their models effectively.
Right. Data quality is paramount. And then there's the ongoing cost of refining algorithms, retraining models.
Exactly. It's a continuous resource-intensive process. Right. Compare that to early era SaaS.
What was their main focus, cost-wise?
Often it was more heavily weighted towards optimizing the user experience, building out features based on feedback and sales and marketing to acquire users. The core tech build was significant, of course, but maybe not the same kind of ongoing data-hungry R&D intensity you see with AI.
So a different allocation of capital and resources in those early stages.
And these higher initial and ongoing expenses for AI, they're having an impact on investors.
How so? Making them more cautious.
Possibly more focused on long-term profitability, yeah. The sources suggest investors are looking very closely at the path to positive unit economics, given the high operational costs. It also kind of raises the bar for entry.
Because you need more capital just to get started and survive that initial cash burn.
Precisely. You need deep pockets and a very convincing story about how you'll eventually become profitable, not just grow fast.
Okay, so faster growth, potentially higher costs, needing different revenue models, and more investor scrutiny on profitability.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk go-to-market. How do they reach customers? Is that different too?
The Saster article argues pretty strongly that it is different, or at least it needs to be.
What's the main point there?
They argue that the next wave of big AI companies will likely be marketing-led rather than sales-led, which was often the traditional SaaS playbook, especially for enterprise.
Marketing-led, why the shift?
Speed, mainly. The AI market is moving incredibly fast. Long traditional sales cycles might be too slow. You need to build awareness, educate the market, and generate demand quickly through marketing efforts.
Makes sense. You need to capture attention in a noisy, fast-changing space.
And it's not just one strategy. Saster highlights successful AI companies are often firing on all cylinders from day one.
Meaning?
They're doing bottom-up adoption, trying to get developers using their APIs or tools.
Okay, the classic PLG-like motion.
Yeah, but simultaneously doing top-down enterprise engagement, talking to CIOs and budget holders.
Right, big deals.
And building strategic partnerships, all at the same time, right from the start. Not sequentially, like many SaaS companies did.
That sounds intense.
Yeah.
Resource heavy.
It probably is. But it reflects the need to attack the market from multiple angles very quickly.
Did the C-Stream mention any specific tactics that are working well for AI startups in this marketing-led approach?
Yeah, a few interesting ones. Creating a movement around the tech, building a strong community and brand identity.
Sort of like thought leadership, getting people excited.
Exactly. Leveraging influencers and thought leaders for essentially zero-cost brand building. Getting others to talk about you.
Smart. What else?
Charging for proof of concepts or POCs.
Oh, that's different. Often POCs are free, aren't they?
They often are in SaaS, yeah. But the argument here is that charging for them filters for serious customers and ensures they have skin in the game, given the resources needed to support an AI POC.
I see. It qualifies leads and focuses resources. Makes sense given the costs we discussed.
Also, a relentless focus on production use cases showing real, tangible value quickly, not just cool tech demos, and building multiple growth engines, not relying on just one channel.
So a much more dynamic, multi-pronged, and perhaps marketing-centric GTM compared to traditional SaaS.
That seems to be the emerging picture, yes.
Okay, let's pivot now to the impact AI is having on SaaS itself. It's not just a separate category, is it? AI is getting baked into SaaS products.
Absolutely. The SaaS Academy article dives into this really well. AI is being integrated in countless ways.
Like what? Give me some examples.
Well, machine learning for predictions, think Salesforce Einstein predicting sales outcomes. Mm. Natural language processing for chatbots or understanding customer support tickets like Microsoft Cortana or features in Zendesk.
So using AI to make the existing SaaS tools smarter, more efficient.
Exactly. It's enhancing SaaS across the board. Personalization, automating repetitive tasks, providing better analytics, improving customer service interactions, beefing up cybersecurity, helping with scalability.
And ultimately saving costs or creating more value for the SaaS provider and the customer.
Right. The SaaS Academy piece listed a bunch of examples. HubSpot using AI for personalized content recommendations.
Okay, yeah.
Zoom using it for like background noise cancellation or transcription. DocuSign for signature verification. Slack's AI features. Dropbox Smart Sync, Oracle embedding AI in cloud security.
It's becoming table stakes almost. If your SaaS tool doesn't have intelligent features, it might start to feel dated.
That's definitely a risk for incumbents. AI is becoming an expected layer of intelligence within software.
But this integration isn't without its challenges, right? There are ethical considerations.
Definitely. That's a crucial point raised in the materials. Things like potential bias baked into the algorithms.
Yeah, if the training data is biased, the AI's output can be biased, which is a huge problem.
Huge problem. And then there are concerns around privacy and data protection. How is all this user data being used to train and run these AI models? And accountability, if an AI makes a mistake or causes harm, who is responsible?
These aren't trivial questions. Businesses integrating AI need to be thinking about this proactively.
Absolutely. Building user trust is critical. And that means being transparent and ensuring these AI-powered tools are developed and deployed ethically and responsibly.
So, looking at the bigger picture, what's the future hold? Is SaaS going away, replaced by AI? The Meritech Capital piece argues against that, doesn't it?
It does. It makes the case that SaaS isn't dying, it's evolving. And AI could actually make the overall SaaS market bigger.
How so?
They use the analogy of the shift to the cloud. On-premise software didn't just vanish overnight. Incumbents like Adobe, Microsoft, they adapted, embraced the cloud, and thrived. Meritech suggests we could see something similar with AI.
So AI is the next logical step in software's evolution. Software on demand, SaaS cloud, AI.
Kind of, yeah. And the lines between these stages will likely continue to blur. AI becomes a capability layered onto cloud-based SaaS platforms.
So for SaaS companies, the message is adapt or risk becoming obsolete.
Pretty much. Those that don't innovate and integrate AI could be disrupted. But those that do could unlock significant new market opportunities, expanding their TAM, total addressable market.
But the Meritech piece also cautioned against overhyping things like AI agents immediately replacing everything.
Yes, right? Exactly. It acknowledges the huge potential, but also points out that truly autonomous, industrial-scale AI agents are still in their early stages. They're not quite ready to take over all complex workflows tomorrow.
So we're likely looking at a period of coexistence, where AI tools augment existing SaaS solutions, and integration deepens over time.
That seems like the most probable scenario for the near to medium term, integration and evolution rather than sudden replacement across the board.
We'll be back after a word from our sponsors.
Are you a seasoned founder, retired executive, or industry leader with expertise to share? At Suncoast Venture Studio, we're building Florida's Venture Coast, a hub for innovation and high-growth startups. And we need your talent. Join us as a mentor, advisor, or collaborator. Help shape the next wave of scalable startups. Guide entrepreneurs through pivotal moments and stay connected to the excitement of venture creation. Whether you're offering insights, joining an advisory board, or getting hands-on with ideation, your experience can make a lasting impact. Be part of something bigger. Together, we'll create thriving ventures and a vibrant ecosystem right here in Southwest Florida. Visit suncoast.studio to connect with us and start building Florida's Venture Coast.
Okay, one last area the Sostra article touched on was metrics. How do you measure success or real growth for these AI startups, given the hype?
Yeah, they suggested looking beyond just the top line ARR number, which might be inflated by experimental usage.
Right, the difference between experimental ARR and real ARR. What metrics help distinguish that?
They highlighted things like production use case ratio, what percentage of customers are using the AI for core production workflows versus just testing.
Okay, that shows stickiness.
Contract length progression, are customers signing longer deals over time, showing commitment. Usage stability, is the usage consistent or spiky and experimental?
Makes sense. Less volatility means more reliance.
Also, vendor consolidation, are customers consolidating their AI spending with this vendor, replacing other tools? And external use case ratio, how much of the usage is generating value for the customer's end users, not just internal efficiency?
Those definitely provide a much more nuanced picture than just ARR is growing X percent. Help see if the growth is sustainable.
Exactly. They help gauge the true integration and value delivery of the AI solution.
All right, so let's try to synthesize this. We've covered a lot of ground comparing AI startup growth with traditional size.
It seems clear AI startups are showing really impressive early growth velocity, hitting revenue milestones faster and scaling incredibly quickly.
But that speed comes with caveats, notably much higher initial and ongoing costs, particularly for compute and data.
Which necessitates faster monetization and perhaps influences their tendency towards usage-based or value-based revenue models, although we're seeing convergence there too.
Right. SaaS is adopting AI features and sometimes related pricing, while AI might use subscription models for certain applications. The lines are blurring.
And their go-to-market seems different, too faster-paced, more marketing-led, multi-pronged from day one, focusing on creating movements and proving production value quickly.
Meanwhile, SaaS isn't standing still.
Yeah.
It's actively integrating AI to enhance its own offerings, improve efficiency, and stay competitive.
Leading to that idea of evolution, not extinction, AI is becoming a crucial layer within the broader software landscape, potentially expanding the market for those SaaS companies that adapt effectively.
So the question, who's winning, isn't really the right one, is it?
Probably not. It's less about AI versus SaaS and more about how AI is fundamentally reshaping software development, deployment, and monetization across the board.
It seems the winners will be those companies, whether AI native or SaaS evolved, that figure out how to leverage AI to deliver real demonstrable value and build sustainable business models around it.
Agreed. Understanding the distinct growth patterns, cost structures, and GTM strategies is key, but the underlying trend is the increasing centrality of AI itself.
What stands out most to you from all this? Any final thoughts for businesses watching this unfold?
I think the interplay between the speed, the cost, and the need to prove value is fascinating. AI's potential is immense, but the path to sustainable profitability looks different than it did for early SaaS. Companies need robust strategies for managing costs and demonstrating ROI very clearly.
And maybe for existing SaaS players, the urgency to integrate AI thoughtfully is paramount. It's not just a feature, it's becoming core to competitiveness.
Absolutely. This is a dynamic space, constantly changing. We've covered a lot based on these sources, but ongoing learning is crucial.
Indeed. Hopefully this deep dive has provided a solid overview and some useful frameworks for thinking about this ongoing evolution. Thanks for unpacking it all with me.
My pleasure. Always interesting to explore how these shifts are playing out.